To come forward to pray for our offering, Brotherly Phil will go over some of the things going on in our community.
Good morning, everyone. Okay, so I have five announcements, and so we'll keep them quick. As Bodville Greg said, junior high camp starts today. We're taking six kids, well, technically seven, and a bunch of leaders. So please pray for the kids and for the leaders, especially this leader. Next week is high school camp. So if you know of any high school kids, relatives, kids, family members, cousins, neighbors, whoever's, there's still more room. August 5, 6, 7 is college camp. So if you know anybody in college is a loose term in the Armenian culture. So it's anywhere from 18 to 40, I imagine. So if you have a college age person, we're going for that weekend too. Announcement number two, family camp is August 26th through 28th. Does everyone know about family camp? If there's someone that doesn't know, please talk to Shara, but it's a great time. There should be flyers in the back where you can get those, fill it out. Apparently there's some teeth behind this now, because if you don't sign up by the 24th, you're gonna get charged $25 per attendee who's late. I'm reading the fine print, right? Right here. So if you're interested in going, please sign up before that so you don't have to deal with that. Next thing is, this is number three. We're making a new church directory, and I believe this is more of an online thing versus a book, correct? It's a book too, okay. So we probably don't have everyone's information. So if you look at the box kind of in the middle of your bulletin, you can email your information, which is your name, kid's name, address, phone numbers, all that kind of contact stuff. FAPC3@FAPC.net, it's right here. If you're the non-emailing type, I'm sure it won't be the end of the world if you actually call the office and tell them verbally. so if you could do that, that would be great. Number four, coffee fellowship. Elaine, where are you? Elaine. Elaine is looking for volunteers to help host coffee fellowship. So we're probably running low. Last week of July is open. So you can get in on the ground level if you'd like to do that right now without any competition. So talk to Elaine if you'd like to help in that. Lastly, the first Sunday of every month, our church goes to the Armenian home, and Pastor Greg leads worship and preaches, and we interact with the residents. It says here that the youth will be going too. The youth might be going, but they won't be going with me because I'll be at college camp. So if you'd like to take your kids and join Bodville Greg, or if anyone would like to go and join Bodville Greg, it's a fantastic time for you personally. That sounds weird, but you will truly be blessed, and the people are certainly blessed by that. So having said that, my five is up. Fernando, if you would come pray for us, that would be great.
Song. I'm not. Praise God. Blessed be his name. I'm going to read a scripture. Bod Valley asked me to pray, and I'm going, what am I going to pray? I got nervous, but I just want to say that if you haven't caught on to what God is doing in our church, I'm going to help you. There's a fog in our nation. We don't get it, but God's still there. He's still good. He's still merciful. My brother, Shamlins, it is not a coincidence that your daughter opened up her business. It's a desire of her heart. But it's not just a business. It's a Christian business. All right? What happened at camp? Parents, there's a connection to bending our knees and praying for our children. So the scripture I'm going to read to you, and if you have problems with that, argue with God. It's found in Psalms 90, verses 16 and 17. It says, may your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord, our God, rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. So let's bow down our heads in prayer, right? Jesus, we bow down our heads, Father. We now, Father, are your servants, give you back of what your mighty hand gives us, Lord. We pray, Father, that you would bless this offering. You would bless the cheerful hearts, Father, and then you would multiply our offering. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance."
Lesson, scripture reading, our scripture reading is on page 813 of the Pew Bible, if you want to open that up real quick. It's in Acts. Ara read portions of Acts this morning. We're going to read a little bit more. We're going from Acts 20, chapter 4, verse 23. We're going to go all the way through 5:10. Page 813 of the Pew Bible. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God wholly, boldly. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any one of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Chapter 5. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then the young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that is the price." Peter said to her, "How could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Started early for me. I'm not exactly sure when my first time was, but it was early. My mother tells a story that she'd given me a bath and said, "Okay, when you're done, get out and dry yourself, but just stay right here in the bathroom. I need to go do something." She went downstairs and was taking care of the laundry. And stay here. Instructions were clear. But again, it started early for me. Dried myself off. What's there to do in the bathroom? I'd already had a great time in the tub. So I realized, yes, Mother's Cookies. Does anyone remember Mother's Cookies? They had a marshmallow covered in chocolate. Those are my favorite. And the second drawer down in the kitchen was the one where we kept the Mother's Cookies. Mom wasn't around, so I couldn't ask her, could I have one? I'm sure it would be okay. So I went running out. Yes, you can imagine me like that. Running out of the bathroom, go to the kitchen, and the drawer stuck. And what I didn't know was Mom had just waxed the floor. So as I was pulling, I pulled and my feet slipped and I went down. And you know how everybody has a unique fingerprint? Well, apparently in our family we have unique bottom prints. So when Mom came back and I'd make sure I cleaned off any cookie from, "Did you stay in the bathroom like I asked you?" Children, do not do what your pastor did. I don't think you did. Of course I did. Takes me again. So I haven't even gotten dressed yet. So here I am running. Mom's dragging me to the kitchen. "What's that?" I had never seen my unique print before. But there it was, freshly imprinted in the freshly waxed kitchen floor. I was a liar. And it didn't stop when I was little. It didn't stop. Now, who wouldn't trust this face? Well, I'll tell you who wouldn't trust it. My parents never trusted that face, because behind that face, or in that face, is a mouth that would just lie about everything. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I know I'm not alone. And I'm sure we could talk to some psychiatrist or psychologist, and they might be able to analyze the source of my deception and what it is that motivates me for self-interest. I never wanted to get punished. That's what I think. Then you'd say, then why would you stop disobeying? Why wouldn't you just stop? That way you don't have to lie. Way too complicated for me. I would just lie and lie and lie. And my mom had this, and my dad, they had this uncanny ability to catch me. Well, fast forward to when I had the privilege of being the youth pastor here. And I could name the names of the young people who used to tell me, Greg, man, I'd hate to be your kid. Why? Because you catch us in all our lies. Every time we lie, you just, and I know that, yeah, don't say, oh, no, there was the one. No, okay, I know I didn't catch all of them. But when you're a liar, it's fairly easy to spot other people lying, especially if they haven't been doing it, since their bottom could be printed in the wax of a kitchen floor. Our hearts can be deceitful. Our hearts can be deceitful. Even Christian hearts can be deceitful. Our hearts can be deceitful. And what's amazing and what's incredible as we read the book of Acts is we don't find a perfect church there. And you might think from the beginning, wow, they pick Judas' replacement. Then Peter gets up and preaches. And last time we saw Peter, he was completely, you know, an untrustworthy guy. And then the church is growing. And then in the face of persecution, they stand up and they say, yes, we're going to keep trusting God. And it's amazing, because what you find in the book of Acts is an amazing church. The church is amazing. You are amazing. And the church is vulnerable. We are vulnerable. As we've said week after week, and you're going to keep hearing me say this, Jesus is continuing in the book of Acts to establish his kingdom by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit through his witnesses. That's what the book of Acts is working with. But you have to see there at the end, at the beginning, it's really great. Jesus is continuing to establish his kingdom. Great, we can count on that. By the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, that's fantastic. It's just that last line where we run into some problems, don't we? No trouble believing in the risen Lord Jesus that he can establish his kingdom. No trouble believing that the Holy Spirit can do amazing things. But it's just that through his witnesses that makes me a little nervous. Does it make you nervous? Because it should. Because if that last line doesn't make you nervous, you're going to be so disappointed in all of us, because you're a part of the church. You're a part of Jesus establishing his kingdom through his people. But if that last sentence doesn't make you nervous, the next time I do something, or the person sitting next to you does something, or someone else forgets to say something that should be said, you're going to, oh, gosh, look at this. This church, and then you might go to another church. And you know what you're going to find in another church? That Jesus is continuing to establish his kingdom by his by the presence and power of his Holy Spirit through his witnesses. And everywhere you go, you find witnesses who are less than God and not all that the Holy Spirit desires. None of us want to say amen to that, but it's the truth. The church is amazing, and the church is vulnerable. Last week we finished with the room being shaken. The room was shaken, but the people filled by the Holy Spirit were unshaken. That's amazing. These were very simple people. They were willing to stand up against the leaders of their entire community. We read in verse 32, all the believers were one in heart and mind. There was a unity of their passions and their purpose. That's amazing, because again, you're talking about an organization that doesn't start slow, where everybody gets on the same page and we just sort of slowly build. This was a group that was multiplying, hundreds and hundreds of people coming in. How could they be of one mind and one purpose? We're less than, what, 250 people? How many different minds do you think we could take count of right here? We have all sorts of different agendas. They were one mind and one heart. You knew they were selfless, because it says that no one claimed that any of their possessions was their own. They shared everything that they had. Now, this isn't communism. This was not legislated. This wasn't forced. This was the natural response to being led by the Holy Spirit. Receiving the grace of God, their response was, whatever I have, can you use it? Do you need it? Okay, great. I'll take care of it. They shared everything. That the church is amazing. Not only are they amazing in this way by their actions, but even their words. With great power, the apostles continue to testify to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that there were no needy persons among them. No poor. No poor. If they started the day poor, the church responded by providing for their needs, because people looked at what they had, private ownership, and said, we want to share it. We want to share it. That's amazing. Where do you see that? It was God's grace that was so powerfully at work in them. No needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land and houses sold them and brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the disciples' feet. The church is amazing, but we're vulnerable. Many of you, I imagine, could come up and give a testimony to what God's grace has done to you and done in you. Okay, I opened today by describing who I am apart from Jesus Christ. Deception is how I'm born. I don't even know how to describe it. My brother and sister used to look at me, my older brother and sister, like, why can't you just tell the truth? We saw you. No. I love how Chuck Swindoll and the people in the Promise Keepers movement used to use a description of our sins as signature sins. That mine may be deception. Someone else's might be greed. Someone else might be just meanness. Someone else might be pride. I don't know what your signature sin or sins are, but we all have them. We all have things that if you ask someone else, it's like, yeah, you got to watch out for her because she loves to control things. Or you got to watch out for him because if you're not looking, he's going to steal something from you. See, we all have those, and yet God builds his church through people like us. That's amazing. But we're not in heaven yet, where it's all erased. We're still vulnerable because we're still here on earth, and we still, while saved by grace, we still carry about, as the Apostle Paul describes, the body of flesh. The same signature sins that I still fight, they want me. See, the church has an adversary. His name is adversary, Satan. Now, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property, just like Barnabas. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself and brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. You've not lied just to human beings, but to God. Ananias sold some property. Sapphira knew all about it. And they brought the money. So far, so good. But he didn't just give the money. He didn't say, sold the house, you know, the one that's in the city wall. We sold that. We sold it for $600, and here's $400. If he had done that, everything would have been fine. He would have gone home that night. The problem was, in presenting the gift to the apostles at the apostles' feet, he was communicating, I sold it, and here's all the proceeds. Here's all of it. And he lied. And he wasn't just dishonest. I mean, it's deceit, no doubt. It's deceit to present yourself as something that you're not. But in addition to the deceit comes a hypocrisy. How serious does God take hypocrisy? Do you think they're the only sinners in the first century church in the first couple weeks? Do you think that's the first sin that happened among the early church? I don't. He sells it. He lies. He presents himself as something other than he is. And Peter can spot it. Just like a good mom or a good dad. They see right through it. And though they attribute the temptation to Satan has so filled your heart. How did that happen that you have lied? When I was a kid, there was an African-American comedian, Flip Wilson. And he had a tagline. Who knows it? Devil made me do it. Devil made me do it. That didn't even work once with my family. I tried. Didn't work once. And you know, it'll never work once with God. Yes, he is attributed as the source of temptation. Yes, how is it that Satan could have filled your heart that you would have lied to the Holy Spirit? You are the one who lied. See, we're vulnerable. Every one of us is vulnerable. Satan tempts us. We don't know what Ananias was thinking. Maybe he thought, well, if you know, Joseph from Cyprus got a nickname Barnabas, maybe I'll get a nickname too. I'll be the son of the giver. I don't know if he wanted some reputation. We don't know what it was that pushed him toward this hypocrisy. But he did it, and he convinced his wife to go along with it. And husbands, wives, whichever one is the one making the decision, if you persuade your spouse to go against the Lord, be very, very careful. If you feel the need to persuade your spouse or, again, someone else to go along with your disobedience, they're going to bear some of the responsibility too. Our close friends, our spouses could be our greatest gifts in stopping us from following through in disobedience. I could tell you time after time after time that Sosie has saved me from doing something stupid, whether sin or just stupid. I do both. And how many times she has said to me, do you think you want to do that? See, somehow Ananias got Sapphira on board. Maybe it was her who convinced him. I don't know. He dies. And there's no question this is God's judgment. He didn't just get nervous and have a heart attack. This is clearly from the Lord. 3 hours later, his wife comes in not knowing what's happened. Poor woman, don't you just hate this? Peter asked her, set up. Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? You know, it was a setup, but I also think he was giving her an opportunity to repent. Have you noticed the mercy of God that even though you've got 2 feet in sin, he sends somebody or something happens where you have the chance to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Yes, I am guilty. How merciful is God for the frequency with which he provides that step backwards. When we're already in, he gives us grace to get out. Don't think that even though you've started down the path of sin, that, oh, I might as well just go ahead and go through with it. No. You may have taken 2, 3, 7 steps in, but just know that repentance is the gift that God has given his people, that we can turn around and go back and say, guilty, please forgive me. And he does. That's why Jesus died. He died for a very vulnerable person.